Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We lift our hands to you, Father. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that we can always count on you, Lord. You never fail. You never drop the ball. You never turn your back on us, Lord. Your love is faithful, steadfast to us. And Lord, I pray that we'll just relax right into that love. All the tension and fear, strife of this last week or this season that we're in, Lord, let it just roll off our backs as we rest completely in your faithfulness, your love, your forgiveness, your provision in our lives, Lord. You're guiding us, and we'll follow you, Lord, right into your perfect peace and perfect love. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Be seated, everyone. Let's give the worship team a good hand for their love. Thank you, guys. You know, everywhere you turn today, people are trying to figure out what to do. Is anybody here trying to figure out what to do? Students, married people, business people, retirees, people that are moving, people that are trying to figure out what the right job is, what the right class to take is, what career will we choose, where will we live, who will we marry, how are we going to be able to make it? People are trying to figure out, you know, how to get to where you're supposed to be. And it's a little bit overwhelming sometimes because there are so many choices. Today, I'm thinking about our graduates and the great, bright future that they have and the great, bright future that all of us have as we follow the Lord. We don't have to be overwhelmed. There really is good news, and I want to share some good news with you about direction and getting where you need to be, and that is that there is a place that each of us can live, and it's a place called God's best. We can live every day in God's best. It's a place. It's real. I'll never forget some years ago, 15 years ago, actually, when we were moving, our church was moving from a location in central San Jose to this property. That was 15 years ago. And right at the same time as we were moving here, Kathy and I and our two sons at the time were moving to the north part of Morgan Hill. So there was two big moves going on at one time. And we were house hunting for the months prior to that, just trying to find the right spot for us to live in. I think I've told you this before, but Kathy had an unusual dream, and I want to share it with you because I think it'll speak to your heart. She dreamed that she was swimming in like a pond or a pool, but the water was kind of green, and it wasn't real fresh, it wasn't real clean, but she was swimming in it, and then she heard the voice of her friend who was in another pool just a little bit further on, and that pool was clean and sparkling and fresh, and the friend was saying to Kathy, who was in the green pond, she said, "What are you doing over there? Come over into this one. This one is better. This is, come out of that and into this." And that was the end of the dream, and it kind of stayed with her, and we talked about it, and sometimes the Lord will bring us guidance and direction through dreams, so we really thought about that. Are we actually, is what we're in right now the very best? You know, are we experiencing the very best that God has? And when you think through that filter, when you're ready to choose a home or choose a job or get married or make a major decision, kind of putting it out of the green slimy pool where you kind of maybe settle for something that's good enough and really reach for something that's just sparkling clean and really the best. How many would like the best in life? And when I say the best, I don't mean the absolute most expensive or the finest or whatever. I'm not one of those kind of preachers that's going to tell you that Jesus wants you to wear a $10,000 suit and he wants you to everyone to live in the mansion on the hill and all of that. I don't actually believe that. When I say the best, what I believe is the most suitable, the right one, the one that he chose for you. That God has a plan for every person's life. And no matter whether you're in a home or in an apartment or you're married or you're single or wherever you live, whatever you're doing, there is a way to say, you know, I'm believing that I'm in or very close to God's best for my life. And when you live that way, when you live with a sense that God is good, and He wants to do a really good thing for us. He wants to bring us to our best possible arrangement, the best expression of His will in our lives. Then there's a confidence that comes. The nervousness goes away, the anxiety, the sleeplessness. You don't feel like you have to make every decision perfectly. You can rest and just trust in God's leadership in your life. We can live in God's best in every season of our life with every decision that we make, and that knowledge will bring us tremendous rest and freedom from anxiety and fear. Here's a promise that I want to share with you. It became so real to me as we rested a few weeks ago on our vacation, and this verse just has come to me at different times. I want to share it with you. It's Psalms 32, verse 8, the New Living Translation. I'm going to invite you to read it with me, because here's a promise for every single person in this room, no matter what you're going for. Let's read it out loud. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. There's a promise that God is making to you, sir, madam. Whether you know Him, whether you're walking with Him, whether you've been serving Him for years and years and years, or whether you're confused, or whether you're retired, or whether you're married or single, or you've just lost somebody in your life, God says, I'm going to guide you. I'm going to get involved in your life. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure that you are on the best pathway, the best that you've ever been on. This is the heart of God. That's an amazing, isn't that a beautiful promise that God would make that promise to us? So He wants the best for us, and that comforts me. He wants the best. So get ready for a few minutes of encouragement here, because I've got a message for you about your life and about the decisions that you're making and the plans that you're making, how you can turn all that over to the Lord and really experience God's best every day in your life. God desires everyone to have His best. You know, sometimes we think we know what's best. I want to marry her. I want to buy that house. I want to work over at this company. And we think we know the best, but you know what? God really does know the best. And how much better is it if we just trust in Him and let Him? It's like our surfer, you know, our surfer up on the screen. I imagine myself sometimes surfing on a wave of God's favor, surfing on where I'm not making myself, I'm not moving my life forward. I'm not the one in charge of this. I'm just positioning myself in a relationship to what God is doing, the wave. If I can get on that wave and just stay balanced, that wave will carry me right where I need to go. And it's kind of effortless. Living life correctly is an effortless thing, because the God that we serve wants us to have the best. Psalms 81 verse 6 says, I will feed you the best. Hallelujah. I'll make sure that you are experiencing and tasting of the best in life. I'll give you honey out of the rock, God says. When I think of God's best, I think of the story of His interaction with the world. Here's a brief history of God's best in the world. When God created, in the very beginning, Adam and Eve, He put them in a dump. Is that what it says? Where did He put them? He put him in the garden. He gave them His best. Do you know who God is? He's a God that will set you up with His best. Well, Adam and Eve were there. They were enjoying His best, and they were living in that beautiful paradise. And then sin entered the picture. Adam and Eve actually turned their back on God. They disobeyed Him, as many of us have. All of us have. The Bible says all of us have sinned. So it's a common human condition, right, to turn your back on God and think you've got something better. And they listened to the wrong voice in the garden, and so they lost the best. In Genesis chapter 4, one of the consequences of walking away from God and losing His best, where God said to Adam, now you're going to till the ground, you're going to work the ground, but you're not going to experience the best. See, I think sometimes the worst consequence of sin is falling from what God really had as the best for us. But there's good news. Just as surely as you can lose God's best, you can recapture it. God is a restorer, and He'll bring His best back to you. So the third thing we see happening in the big message of the Bible, Adam and Eve had the best, they lost the best, but then Jesus came to restore the best. He died on a cross to restore God's best for us. In John 10:10, It said, Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give you life. I've come to give you the best. And that's the promise for us. And so he died on a cross for our sins. He rose from the dead to conquer death, hell, and the grave. And while he was here, before he died on the cross, he was constantly teaching people how they could experience the best and the nature of God and his great love. One of the great stories that he taught was the parable of the prodigal son. Remember that story? And it's a picture of the history of God with people. So the story is of a kid who is a part of a wealthy family, and one day he said to his father, I just want all my inheritance and I want to get out of here. I want to leave the best. And his father said, son, everything I have is yours. Why would you go? And he said, no, I want my inheritance. So he took off and he ended up in second best, third best, fourth best. He ended up in last place. He was in a terrible situation. He realized in his life, in the story of the prodigal son, I've made a major mistake here. I need to turn around. I need to change my mind. I need to change my direction. And I need to come back to God's best. I need to come back to God. And when he came back to the father's house, he said to the father, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Just let me be a janitor. Just let me work around here. I'll wash the tables off. I'll take the garbage out. I'll just do that. And the father said, are you kidding? You're my son. And he brought out and he called his servants and he said, bring out the best robe and bring out the best food because my son who was dead is now alive. See, what's he communicating to us? You can lose the best, but you can recover it. You can regain it. You turn around, you come back to God and you can experience his best. God never wants you to have second best. He always wants you to have what is best. And so now we find the next step in Bible history about God's best is that Jesus ascended. After he died on the cross and rose from the dead, Acts chapter 1 tells us the story of Jesus ascending. And he had told the 12 disciples in the upper room in John chapter 14 and 16, he told them, I'm going to go. And they said, no, please don't go. And he said, no, this is what is best. This is what is best. It is best for me to go to the Father so that I can send the Holy Spirit. Here's what's best. I've got to die for you. Sometimes what seems to be going on, you see, how could that possibly be the best thing? How could dying on the cross be the best? I'm going to die for you. I'm going to rise from the dead. Then I'm going to go. How could that be good? I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And now because I've died for your sins, you're walking in forgiveness, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. You're going to have power in your life, power to live, and I've got a job for you to do. I've got a purpose for you to carry out for me in the earth, and this is my best. So he ascended, and he sent the Holy Spirit. He sent his best. And then now, where we're at now, we're forgiven, we're free, we've got access to the power of heaven through the Holy Spirit, and we can actually experience God's best as long as we choose it. All we need to do is say, Lord, I want your best. And here's what I'm going to do. At the end of this message, we're going to have a moment to pray. There'll be some people up here at the conclusion of the service. If you need healing prayer or if you came today, you just wanted to talk to somebody, connect with somebody, there's going to be counselors here and prayer workers at the front. But before we close the service, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask every person in this room to choose the best, to say, Lord, I want your best in my life. I'm sorry for wandering off. I want your very best in my life. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. The Living Bible says God was lamenting. This is God saying, you know, he's sad about it. He's lamenting. They refused to believe the Lord our God who had led them all the way and had selected what? The best. God chose for his people the best places, right? God can guide you. He will lead you to the best. And it says he had guided them by the pillar of fire at night and the pillar of cloud by day. Do you understand the kind of relationship God wants to have with you? Where you're not making it up as you go. You're not figuring life out every day on your own. That God is actually guiding you. That he's choosing the best places for you. All we have to do is follow him. Stop trying to be in charge of your life. The point of your faith is to recognize that you have a loving Heavenly Father who knows way more than you know. He knows exactly what is best for you, and He will lead you and He will guide you. So when you have those dark moments, say, man, I feel like I'm in trouble. I don't know what's going to happen next. You can rest and say, you know what? God's got this. God is guiding me. He hasn't left me. He's not forsaken me. God is really guiding me. And I love that word, guide. He will guide you. The pillar of fire at night was a guide to them. It was showing them the way that they should walk. Even when you go through those times where you feel a little corrected by God, like you did the wrong thing, and God is allowing you to suffer maybe a little consequence, kind of as a penalty, a time to smarten up. How many have ever had a moment where you messed up and you realized you made a mess and God let you sit in your mess for a minute? You know, and you're better for it, right? You're smarter for it. Even in that, you say, man, you wouldn't believe the mistakes I've made. You know, God's given up on me. I mean, I've sinned. There's no way that God would be for me. Even when you've messed up, God is guiding you into His best. Look at Psalm 119. The punishment you gave me, Lord, was the best thing that could have happened to me. You know, sometimes we learn more from our mistakes than from our successes. Matter of fact, success is great, and I encourage people to be successful, but a lot of times when we're successful, God can't get through to us. We're not listening very well. We got great grades, we got great paychecks, we got great friends, and life is just going great, and then we can kind of take our eye off the ball if we're not careful. Then if we stumble, it's like, oh God, where are you? We start looking for God. How many can relate to that? Oh Lord, I have a need. The rent is due. I got bad news. She's leaving me. I lost my job. They're laying off at work. Oh God, where are you? God says, I'm right here. Pay attention to me. Even when you go through those hard times, when you stumble, you fail, do the wrong thing, suffer maybe a little consequence of that decision, even that can be the best thing that's happened to you. I want every single person listening to my voice today to feel so peaceful, so solid as you trust the Lord, as you lean on Him, not on your own understanding. Lean on Him and let Him guide you. Let Him pull you and lead you to the exact circumstances and situations that you need that are best for you. I mentioned a few minutes ago, Kathy and I had a nice vacation. We were away from you guys for a couple of weeks, and I didn't preach. I didn't even go to church. I'm going to be honest with you. I hope you don't think I'm a backslider. We just rested. I mean, we had a great time. It was just her and I, and of course, you know, that gives you a lot of time to talk. And a lot of time to, and we talked so much about you. Talked about what we're doing, you know, with our lives and our kids and our team. I love our staff. I love our leaders. I love being involved in the cities that we're. I love this vision that God has given to us for multiple cities. It's just like amazing, and it's way beyond us. It's so beyond us. The money that's needed. I can't even get 2 third graders to get along. How could I get thousands of people to get along and build a great church? Only God could do that. How many understand what I'm talking about? So the whole thing's a miracle, and it's just way beyond us. Clearly, if we are making progress, it's because we've caught a wave. We've caught a wave of God's favor. Would you like to catch a wave of God's favor? Would you like to position your... We've caught a wave of God's favor that's just carrying us forward. And that's how we're making progress. But we talked, Kathy and I, for hours, and we are deeply, deeply settled on our role, on where we're at, who we are to you, and who we're spending life with, and what we're doing, and how we're doing it. We know that we know that we know this is absolutely God's best for us. I didn't say we were the best. I didn't say we're living in the best house or we're living in the best city. I'm not talking about the fineness of it or the money of it or the luxury of it. I'm not talking about that kind of best. When I say best, I mean God's best for us. And I want that for you. I want you to have that same confidence that you are on your way. The Bible says in Psalm 32:8, we started off by reading it, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. How many would like to trust in God for his best? All right, so that's yours. And I want to encourage you just for the next few minutes here with how to walk in God's best, how you could experience that. Let me give you three new ideas, okay, for your life about how you could step into God's very best in your life. Are you ready for this? Let's write this down. You got your teaching outline. Here it goes. Number one, I want you to discover God's best in Scripture. You can find God's best for your life in the Bible. And God will teach you. He will actually teach you about his best. Now, the ideas that you have today may not be the right ideas. If you're from a certain kind of a background where you were taught all the wrong things, it's time to wash all that junk out and relearn what is the best, right? And that's a process called discipleship. We're following Jesus. We're getting into the Bible. We're learning about God's plan and what he says is best. Because what you and I say is best may not be true. Truly, God knows what is best, and that's why we have a Bible. So you want to learn and discover truth about God's best in Scripture. Isaiah 48 says, the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, who am I? He said, I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you what is best for you. This is who he wants to be. He wants to be your teacher. You say, Lord, I want to marry her. I want to buy this. I want to smoke that. I want to drink this. God says, let me teach you what's best for you. Let me guide you into really what is best and the best that I have for you, and I'll direct you in the way that you should go. Lord, I want to buy a house over in that city, or I want to go move over here. I want to work for this company. Let God teach you. Let him guide you in those decisions. Psalm 25, verse 9, the Living Bible says, He will teach his ways, the ways that are right and best to those who, what? Humbly turn to him. In other words, you can't teach somebody that already knows everything. If you've got it all figured out, if you know what to do next, not much that you can learn. But if you're humble and you say, you know, I still have some things to learn about marriage. I still have some things to learn about life, about serving God, about being healthy. What does it mean to be a man? You know, I learned some funny things about what it means to be a man. I need to unlearn some of those things. I've still got a lot to learn about being a father, about being a leader. And Lord, would you teach me? Would you guide me? Teach me what I need. If you're humble enough to learn, God will teach you in the way that is the best. He wants us to discover his best by reading and meditating on his word and through a growing personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not describing religion to you today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about a relationship that God wants to have with you, where he talks to you and he speaks to you and he interacts with you and you interact with him. And the Bible is where we learn this. The Bible is so important, and God will also send the Holy Spirit to speak to us, guide us through the pages of Scripture. As he illuminates the truth of God's word, it'll become real to us by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I just follow the Holy Spirit. I don't need the Bible. Hold on just a minute. Who do you think wrote the Bible? The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible because you need a Bible. And so as you're reading the Bible, that same Holy Spirit that wrote those words will illuminate its meaning to you. I heard somebody recently say that God often speaks to us from the white of the page more than the black of the page. In other words, certain things are written down, words on the page. But have you ever had that experience when you're reading Scripture that you're getting a message that's almost transcends what's even being written there? It's like God is speaking to you from the spaces between the words. There's an illumination, there's an inspiration of God that's coming to you. And God really does want to interact with us on that basis and teach us from the Scripture what is best. The Holy Spirit is all over that process. The Holy Spirit will lead you. As you study God's word and as you read God's word and meditate on his word, the Holy Spirit will be all over that process and he'll be helping you make sense. What does this mean for your life? He'll guide you and lead you into God's best. I think one of the things that I love the most about the Bible is that it teaches us how to be closer to God and closer to each other. So many people are feeling lonely in life. That's why next Sunday we're starting a brand new series. Pastor Jordan's going to kick it off. I'll be here. We're going to have a great time for the next 6 weeks teaching a series called Closer. Go ahead and put that one up, because we're going to talk together as a church, enter into a brand new conversation, some brand new ideas about why people aren't closer to each other. What is that? Why are black people and white people and male people and female people and young people and old people and people of different languages, why are people so far apart? Everybody's lonely. Everybody's looking to connect, but we're not closer. How can we get closer? And more importantly, how could we be closer to God in that process? So we're going to have a good conversation the next few weeks in our church, and I encourage you to be a part of that. All of that coming from the pages of Scripture. All right. I've got a few minutes. You want me to go on? All right. I shall. If you want to be in God's best every day, experiencing that, surfing that wave of God's best in your life, get it from the Bible. But then number two, the second part of this is choose God's best every day. Can I say to you this? If you're not experiencing God's best, it's because you haven't chosen to. God's best is a choice that we make. You say, well, God knows my address. He'll give me whatever he wants. No, 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 no. That's not how it works. God doesn't chase you down with his plan. He makes his plan available to you, and then he says, if you will. If you choose, because God is a total gentleman. He would never force you. So it's up to us to turn to him and make a choice. All right, Lord, I'm turning this over to you. I want to make the right choice. I'm choosing your best. How did I get where I am today? I don't know how I ever ended up where I am in life today. I'll tell you how. You made choices. I'm not saying everything that happened to you was a consequence of your choice. But generally speaking, people end up where they choose to end up. Because every day we have a choice to make. I can choose God, I can choose faith, I can choose trusting in him, or I can choose my own bright ideas. How are those bright ideas working out for us? How many think it's time to make different choices? See, you say, well, I made a bad choice. What should I do? Unmake that choice. You get to back it up, and you get a do-over with God. I get to go back to my wife and say, I'm sorry. Let me say that again differently this time. Lord, I'm sorry that I went that way when you told me to go that way. Would you forgive me, God? Let me back this truck up. Let me turn in a new direction and let me catch that wave that's going to take me in the right direction. It's a choice. Everyone say it's a choice. Psalm 25, verse 12. Where is the man who fears the Lord? God will teach him how to choose the best. It's amazing, the fear of the Lord, the respect of God, the awe of God, right? How that will smarten us up, help us to... You know, the dumbest things I ever did in my life was when I wasn't in awe of the Lord. I forgot how awesome... I forgot how great he is, and I made dumb choices. So the awe of God leads us to the best choices. God's best is a choice that we make. Isaiah chapter 1. If you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the... Yeah. Luke 10, verse 42. Jesus was in Mary and Martha's living room one day for an unscheduled visit. Kind of a last-minute drop over. And Martha said, oh, we got to feed this guy. She went right into the kitchen. She started chopping vegetables, whatever she was doing, making hummus. And Mary says, forget the kitchen. I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus. I want to enjoy his presence. I'm going to learn from him. She sits down. Martha's getting frustrated because Mary's not helping her. And she starts to complain from the kitchen. Hey, little help over here. And Jesus says, Mary, Mary, calmate. You know what they say in Hawaii? You try relax. Turn to your neighbor and say, you try relax. Okay, so and he says to Martha, who's in the kitchen, Mary is choosing what's best. Sometimes what's best is not what's written down on your to-do list. Sometimes what's best is not the thing you had planned for the day. It's not what's on your schedule. Sometimes the best is an encounter that you weren't expecting, that you could just forget something else and just experience the best. Oh, how much different would our families be? How much different would our parent-child relationships be? How much different would our church life be if we would just choose, you know, love every time? If we would just choose love, if we would just choose to honor one another and to connect deeply, it's so powerful. God's best is a choice that we make every day. You say, well, I'm in the middle of a mess. You wouldn't believe what's going on in my life. My marriage, my work life, my home, my bills, I'm in a disaster. What do I do? How do I get to God's best? I don't know exactly what the answer is for you, and this I know, you can't choose what happens to you in life. That may not be what you've chosen. You might be experiencing things that are not your fault. You may not be able to choose everything that happens to you, but you can choose in the midst of it to believe for God's best and to trust Him. Lord, here I am. This is the marriage I'm in. This is the home I'm in. This is the job I'm in. Now, Lord, I receive your promise. You're going to help me find the best pathway, and I'm going to get on that pathway. That doesn't mean I'm there yet, but I'm on my way to your best, and this is a choice that I make. When Kathy and I have been in our own dark seasons, and believe me, we've had them. Don't look at us like we're, you know, nothing bad ever happens to us. You see me for 40 minutes once a week or a few times a month, and I'm, you know, wearing a coat, and you think I don't have a problem. We've lost property. We've lost relationships. We've lost loved ones. We've been through the ringer in life just like you have. And we've learned every time we go through a hard time, by the way, being in God's best doesn't mean you're never going to have a problem, right? We learn that when the problem comes, the best thing is to just trust God and believe His promise that He's going to lead us into something so much better. It's a choice that you make. Be encouraged, because God is working in your life to bring you into the best, if you'll choose to trust Him. That is what is best. Okay, last piece of this before we pray and close the service. If you want God's best, receive it in Christ. Can I tell you, there is no way you're going to experience God's best apart from Jesus Christ. It's just simply, you cannot. It's like go out on an ocean where there's no wave and try to go somewhere. It's not going to happen for you. You got to go to the right place, and the right place for you is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. The Bible says, "Now all praise to God for His wonderful kindness to us and His favor." Everyone say favor. Remember we talked about surfing the wave of favor, right? Getting in that place where life is just moving beautifully. Where does that favor come from? It comes from Jesus. It comes from a relationship. It comes from His love. See? You can't get there on your own. You've got to have Christ. For His wonderful kindness to us and His favor that He has poured out upon us because we belong to His dearly loved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He took away all of our sins through the blood of His Son, by whom we are, what? Saved. How many are saved? Praise the Lord. Your sins are forgiven. You've received that. You've opened your heart to Christ. Through Him we are saved, and He has showered down upon us the richness of His grace, for how well He understands us, and He knows what is best. Don't try to find the best apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I have a feeling today that I'm talking to people in this very room that are just sick of the way it's going. You're just so tired. And could it be that the one thing that would make a huge difference in your life today, right now, would be a decision just to trust in Jesus? Just to come back to him. You say, well, I served him years ago, but I don't know, I got busy, I got hurt, I got involved in things, and I just turn around like the prodigal son, come back to him. Or maybe you're here and you say, what are you even talking about? How could I know God? How could I be forgiven? It's all in Jesus Christ. Let every one of us turn to him and begin to follow him so that he can lead us in the best pathway for our lives. You're trying to figure out what class to take, what career to choose, who to marry, or what to do with the deep shame and pain of your life. Whatever it is, turn to him and let him put you on that pathway that he knows so, so well. One note as we close the service, the worship team's going to come and we're going to begin the end of the service here. We're going to have a chance to pray together. But let me say two quick things about living that best life. First, in terms of receiving God's best, I cannot recommend enough to you the safety of the local church. I think being involved in community is so key to finding God's best in your life. Whether you're joining a life group, the men's group, the Bible school, whether you join the worship team or the children's team or you're in a neighborhood Bible study or whatever, don't try to do life by yourself. Because here's the secret. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 12. Here's a warning. Look after each other. Take care of each other so that not one of you will fail to find God's best. That's describing the beauty of a local church where we actually love each other. You know, today's not like coming to watch a performance. We're all here, you know, I'm on a stage and you're in a chair, I get it. But a church is so much more than that, and I'm not performing. This is community. This is people loving each other. This is people learning together. And so as you help each other, we don't want anyone to get lost. We don't want anyone to fall short of God's very best in their life. So the local church is so key. And then the last thing I'll say before we pray is, in terms of asking God for his best, think about this. How about giving your best to God? When we serve the Lord, when we give, we're going to receive offering today, and as we always do, whatever you're doing, this is not for effect. It just doesn't seem right for us to say, God, would you give me your best? And Lord, in exchange for that, if I've got something left somewhere that I don't need, I might throw it your way. Relationship is, God, you give me your best, and I'll give you my best. I'll give you my everything, right? So let's be generous toward each other. Let's be generous toward God's work and bring our best. And when it's time to worship and sing, sing your best. When it's time to pray, pray your best. Do your best and let God do the rest. Amen. There really is a place called God's best. And it's for you. Even if you've messed up, even if you failed, even if you didn't know, today you can begin to experience it. Would you bow your heads and let me pray for you? Father, I'm thanking you today for your best. I'm asking you, Lord, for all the stories and circumstances of every person here, listening online, in the cafe. Every single person is experiencing something, Lord. I pray that wherever each of us is, you'll bring us into the best. For those that are troubled, those that are worried, give peace, Lord. For those that are distracted, frustrated, full of tension, Lord, let your peace just come down on us like a beautiful quilt to wrap us. Your shalom, your peace, Lord. Let it wrap all the way around us and keep us, Lord. For those of us that have sinned, would you forgive us of our sins, Lord, our failures, our shortcomings. And for those that are far away from you, like the prodigal, we choose today We choose today to receive your very best. Your head is bowed, your eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to make a decision today. Choose right now, today. Choose Jesus. Choose God's best. It's not about how perfect you can be. It's about that choice that you make. You need God. Choose Him. He wants to get engaged in your life. If you're here today, your head is bowed, your eyes closed, and you feel like you're far away from God, but you want to fix that today. You want to come close to God. You want to fix your relationship, and you realize you're the one that's walked away, but you're the one that wants to return to Him. If that's you, if you want a relationship with God, I want to pray for you. I would never embarrass you. But if that's you, I'd just like to know who you are. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just slip up a hand. Just wave it at me. I'm looking. No one else is looking. I see you, sir. No matter what you're going through, you're away from God. You just want to fix it. You want to get right. I see you, madam. Thank you for lifting your hand. Anyone else? Just say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm making a decision to follow Jesus in my life. I've been away from Him, but I'm coming back to Him. Wonderful. Three hands. I'm just going to pray for those three and whoever else may be watching online or in the cafe. God sees our hearts. He knows. He knows what our decisions are. Lord, I ask you to bless those that are making a choice today to totally yield to you. Forgive their sins, fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit, and set them on a right path today. In Jesus' name, amen. I could see at least three hands that were raised to give their lives to Christ. How many of you would just say to those three, nice job. Good job, man. That's amen. It was mentioned earlier in the service that there's a card that we'd like to get from you. On the one side, it says, I'm new here. We'd like to have you drop that card into the offering. On the other side, it says, I've decided. So if you raised your hand or you're made some decision for Jesus today, I'd love to hear about it. So just fill out that card, drop it in the offering as it comes by, and then there's a prayer that we're going to put up on the screen. Now, this is your prayer. These are your tracks to run on, to talk to God. So let's say a prayer together, and then the ushers are going to come and wait on us. Can we all just say this out loud? Let's read it. Father God, thank you that you have a purpose and a plan for my life. Help me to live a life that pleases you. I surrender my plans and I ask you to guide me into your very best plan for my life. I trust you and boldly confess that this day your best belongs to me. Through Christ I pray. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. The ushers are going to come. I just want to say thank you to everybody who's serving, everybody who's giving, everybody who's sharing their faith and inviting people to Gateway. It's so important because we just want to reach more and more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. So thank you for what you're doing. Be blessed as you give. Let's worship for a moment. I'll come back at the end and we're going to have a blessing.
Just one touch, and everything changes, everything changes. With one word, the world rearranges, the world rearranges. And by one life, death was defeated, death was defeated. And this one love has paid for my freedom, has paid for my freedom. You're all I know, no other God, my
sing that again. Come on and stand with us.
No other hope, no other love. There's no one like you. Nothing and no one compares to you, God. There's no one like you. There's no one like you. Oh, nothing and no one compares to you. Touch from you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. As we close the service, I just want to invite our elders and pastors and a few of our intercessors to just come. These folks that you'll see here as they walk up are available to pray with you. If you have any needs, you know, sometimes a connection is just the right thing to do. It brings a change in your life. As well, some of the things you heard about earlier in the service, like Impact School of Ministry, Grow Tracks, all of that information is available in the lobby, so you can stop and get that. And you're all invited, if you're new in the church, to join us in room 201 for a quick bite and a handshake, just to say welcome. We're glad you're here. I want to just say a special welcome to Pastor Yahya. He's from Jakarta, Indonesia. He's with us here today. Thank you. And his wife, his family, thank you for being here. Welcome to California. I preached in your church some years ago, a beautiful church in Jakarta, Indonesia, and they're very special friends of Apostle and Sister C. Apostle C, would you just speak a blessing, a final blessing on the church?
You know, the word of God that Pastor David's been preaching the last few weeks has always been targeted. And it's targeted, as he shared, his purpose, his desire, is this you grow into God's best. And it's so powerful. The scriptures are so powerful. And when I raise my hand to bless you, I have the scriptures command to bless.
Yeah.
I'm supposed
to
do this every person I see. The Lord bless thee.
Yeah.
The Lord keep
thee.
The Lord make his face to shine. I want to bless you.
Yeah.
But it is God's word. Now, if you raise your hands to receive it, I'm going to bless every
Amen.
One of you
Hallelujah.
In various things that
thank
God
you,
prophetically brings to my mind.
Yes.
Father, thank you for your word.
Yes.
And now I lift up my voice and my hands
yes.
to bless this congregation, each and every one. There is no way that I could give everyone a personal prophecy, but I bless them
yes.
in their home. I bless them in their family.
Yes.
I bless them in their business. I bless them with the trials and tests they're going through. I bless them with your guidance, your love, your mercy, your grace, your perseverance. Father, I thank you now for providing for every need financially, for everyone, oh God, that's struggling with sickness.
Mm.
We've had so many cancers
yes,
healed,
Lord. Yes,
so many people
do
healed.
It again, Lord.
We
yes,
bless
Lord.
Them
yes,
with the miracle
yes,
of your
Lord.
Healing
yes,
power
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And your virtue. We
yes,
bless
Lord.
Them, Father. They're going out, they're coming in, their
yes,
ministries, their abilities and giftings that you've given to them. We bless them.
Yes.
Open doors. Open opportunities for them to share, even today, your love and grace. And I praise you for it.
Yes,
if
Lord.
You receive it, shout, I receive it.
I receive it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Apostle C. Awesome. God bless you guys. Love each and every one of you. Take a minute, say hello to somebody, connect here at the front or in the lobby. And if you're new in the church, we'd love to meet you in just a moment. God bless each and every one of you.